What's up, everybody? We are back again with another episode of Octagon Control. As usual, I am your host, Nikolai Gianti. Via FaceTime, my co-host, Chris Manning, is with me. And we had a very, very packed card last week. Still a little upset it didn't feature Condit and Matt Brown. But there were some finishes, there were some fun fights. And the title picture definitely changed in a few divisions. Chris, what's your initial reaction from last week's card?
You know, obviously, I thought it was overall, top to bottom, a really, really exciting card. A lot of consequential fights. Also, some short issues with Cody McKenzie, who apparently, after the fight, tried to take a beer and go outside and smoke a cigarette, and they wouldn't let him, so that's interesting. You got to do in line. But, you know, I think the biggest thing for me is that I think, we're going to talk about this later, but Uriah Faber, to me, is the fighter of the year, 4-0. If I'm correct, all finishes, if I'm not mistaken. He didn't finish Yuri Alcantara. But, you know, 4-0 against all really good bantamweights. Beats Michael McDonald handily. Maybe the best Uriah Faber we've ever seen, especially 135. Just an incredible year for him. And, you know, Mendez beats Nick Lentz. Not how we were expecting, but I think you could tell that he was sick. And it was pretty clear that if he wasn't kind of hampered with his cardio due to a sinus infection, he was far superior than Nick Lentz. And, you know, obviously Demetrius Johnson, to me, is one of the top six pound-for-pound fighters in the world right now. Just looks better every fight. Sat down on his puncher, I think, maybe for the first time, and knocked out Benavidez cold. First guy to ever finish Joseph Benavidez. And he's really getting to that point where, partially due to flyweight being so shallow and partially being to just how good he is, he's already almost run through that division. I mean, he's John Dodson, Ian McCall, / Brad Pickett, maybe John Lineker, Ali Bagatinov, winner away from really being out of fresh title contenders at the division. An overall great card. Probably one of my favorite Fox cards.
Yeah, this was a huge card. Really a ton of implications in this. You brought up the short issue. I was really thrown off by that. It actually took me a few minutes to realize there are basketball shorts, too. But that's a whole nother...
With the tags on.
Like, yeah, there's a whole nother issue. But, you know, I think we did see Makovsky looked good on a few weeks' notice.
Like, him and Dodson, like, for a number one contender, I can get behind that.
Yeah. Obviously, Joe Lozon got back in the win column, but finally got a victory without ending it. So, it's kind of disappointing, Joe Lozon. What the hell, man? Mendez, you could tell he wasn't 100%, but he's just so much better than everyone else in that division, besides Jose Aldo.
Nick Lentz got some support on Twitter from a lot of people, but it was also from, like, Mike Dolce, who helped him cut weight.
Yeah.
Other people. And I give him credit for lasting, you know, like, taking Mendez the distance, but when Mendez was going, like, hitting with that big punch in the first round, that flying knee in the third, when Mendez was going after these big athletic moves, he was hitting him and landing them. And then when there was wrestling, where Lentz, people, you know, if Lentz can win that fight, it's going to be clinching and wrestling. Mendez was taking him down at will, and he was clearly not at full strength.
Yeah, and here's the thing with wrestling. Lentz is a taller 145er. It's very difficult to get a takedown on a guy who's a wrestler, and you have to get below their hip level. So it was unlikely from the beginning that Lentz was going to get a takedown that way, when it's not as if Mendez has no takedown defense. He's a very good wrestler. Faber, I mean, what can you say? He looked very impressive. Dwayne Ludwig has been huge for him. But, you know, Michael McDonald also. I think this is one of those, I don't think you count him out as a title contender, as a possible title holder at some point. The man's only 23 years old. This could be a learning point for him. I think everyone has that loss that sort of can shape them as a fighter. I think we see it a lot. And I think this for Michael McDonald could be the one.
Yeah,
Hennen Burrell, he might have been a little green for that one. Uriah Faber, this could be the one that really shapes his career.
Yeah, and also I do think, though, that it does take maybe the luster off that future title holder badge, because if you saw what happened here, I mean, Burrell's not exactly, you know, old either, and neither is Cruz. I mean, those are two guys, I think, have stylistically advantages over Michael McDonald. It was clear that he had no idea how to deal with Faber being able to kind of pick when he didn't have that speed advantage, and he had The only thing he really had going for him in that fight was his power. It was, I mean, he was out of that fight, I think, in the first round, and it just got worse in the second. I think he has some hold in his game that he really is. I mean, it's probably good for him that he lost this. I kind of agree. I agree with your sentiment there because he's not going to get a top three guy. I mean, his last opponents, besides, I can't remember who he fought before this. But, I mean.
He fought Miguel Torres to get the title shot, I believe.
Yeah, and he fought Pickett. And he
Pickett.
So, I mean, he fought Pickett, you know, top 10, but he's going to get bound to maybe probably, in my mind, lower than that Pickett range. And not fight a guy who's either one or two fights away from a title shot, or is it at least not probably not even going to get a. If he's going to get a top 10 guy, it's going to be bottom of the line top 10 guy. He's going to get some time to build up his skill set, and just kind of see where he goes. And again, Faber, if he doesn't get a title shot, like people over the years, and I think it's fair, has said he gets kind of gifted title shots because he's the one guy from coming over from WC that has been just instantly marketable due to who he is and how he promotes his fights. But he earned this title shot, and I think like without question, no matter whoever he fights in his next fight this year, I favor is going to make it damn competitive, and maybe depending on who he gets, I think there's a very good chance that he gets that UFC strap that he's been chasing for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, and Dwayne Ludwig has done wonders for this camp. There's no doubt about that. Faber looks outstanding. The whole camp looks outstanding. Even guys like Danny Castillo, who, you know, really looked like, you know, a middle-of-the-road fighter, looked very good just from his coaching. He's done wonders.
How did you, real quick, before we kind of go move on from to Benavidez and Johnson, how did you score the Castillo-Barbosa fight? Because I think, based on the first round, I think it should have been a draw.
Yeah, it should have been a draw. I definitely gave the last two rounds to Barboza, but that first round was definitely Castillo. It should have probably been a 10-8 round. But you do bring up Joseph Benavidez and Demetrius Johnson. You know, you talked about it earlier, but Demetrius Johnson, first off, he got a knockout, which a lot of people were complaining he didn't have power. Guy clearly has some power. He knocked out a guy that's never been finished. But I think he, for a while, he was sort of the underrated champion. Maybe because he was in a lighter weight class. And, you know, no one, I think people still don't take them that seriously. But he is just improving every fight. He's clearly not complacent. He's just a step ahead of everyone else, and he's so quick, and now that he has power and submissions and wrestling, I mean, this guy could realistically hold on to the belt for a long time.
I don't think there's a question. I mean, he looks better every fight. You know, the Dodson fight was his closest fight, and I think from ever since then, you know, he finishes Moraga when he could have cruised through decision. I thought Benavidez looked really sharp early. I thought his strategy was the right strategy for Johnson, but he sat there on his punch and looked great and just finished him. I'd pick him against any 125. I think it's getting to that point where I couldn't pick against him in any fight. I think if you, I mean, well, except when you fight him. I have to pick you. I'll be obligated. But, I mean, against the guy, the current crop of contenders right now, I mean, he has the tools to solve the Dodson puzzle. But even though Dodson is insanely quick and has I think the perfect style to kind of,
if Dodson puts it on his chin, you know,
doesn't get. I mean, I don't think there's a. I think that rematch to me would be the most intriguing.
Yeah,
maybe, but because I really do think those groin shots hurt him in that fight. I don't think there's a question.
They do hurt. They hurt.
I mean, I know, and it definitely looked like after those shots, his cardio slowed down quite a bit. And as you saw in the Darren Montague fight, Dodson hits you on the chin, boy. Woo! You're done. I mean, McCall's interesting because he's bigger in the wrestling. I mean, Pickett would be interesting because Pickett beat Johnson at 135. But they're different fighters now. Is Pickett going to be the same guy at 125? I don't know how the weight cut's going to do. You know, I mean,
that, and I don't. I'm not sure how much his power will translate to 125.
Because, like, will be, like, the kind of different than Clay Guida, but does it suck too much out of him? I mean, does, like, Frankie Edgar, I think, like, got pop by dropping down to 145. I think he got more pop in his punches overall.
And I think another example would be someone, you know, Sam Alvey, cut to 170, nothing behind it anymore. You know,
yeah, and Pickett's not exactly like a skinnier guy.
Right.
I think he was cutting like a decent amount of weight to make 135. How is he going to do 125?
But Dotson does cut 25 or what?
35. I think he's 35 pounds.
Whatever. So he walks around about 160 at 5'3". So
the big boy. I mean, he had power 135 too, though.
Yeah, that's TJ Dillashaw. But obviously, I do want to talk about our year-end awards. But before that, Chris, there was huge title implications on this card. I think we both agree Johnson is going to hold on to the belt for a while. He looks very improved. What about 35 and 45? What chance do you give that this belt changes hand in the next year?
I'm gonna just throw this out there and say that I think it, at minimum, one of the two will get the belt between Faber and Chet Mendez. I think both, without question, should be in a title fight in their next fight, and if they're not, there's something. It's because all those move weight classes, or something bizarre happens with Cruz and Burrell. Because I think even if Burrell beats Cruz, I think at that point, with Cruz's layoff, Faber gets it, and Cruz kind of just has to work his way back up. But I don't think without question here that I think one of those two guys is going to get a belt. I'd actually, as much as I, part of me wants to see Faber get that part of his legacy, I think Mendez probably is more likely. I think because if he fights Aldo, let's say Aldo beats Ricardo Lamas, I really do think that his wrestling with going to get set up a little bit better with Dwayne Ludwig. I think he looks a lot better on the feet. I think he really is like that. I don't think the gap's that big as our first fight would indicate. And with Lamas doesn't have the rights. I don't think he can hang with Mendez in wrestling. I think Mendez is definitely better on the feet. And as for Faber, if it's Burrell, Burrell's the worst kind of fighter for Faber to fight. Leg kicks, lengthy, good in scrambles. And Cruz fights in a style that in their last meeting really gave Faber fits. Faber was very successful in getting two of those rounds, but Cruz won that fight. But if, you know, we don't know how he's going to look with his knees. We don't know how, maybe Dwayne Ludwig has something, can kind of pinpoint some things. Look how he did against McDonald. He closed the distance incredibly well. He was landing all the right punches. Maybe his footwork gets better and he can figure out Cruz's nifty footwork better than anyone else can. And I still think his wrestling ability in both fights could be interesting. But I'm going to go on a limb and say that at least one of them, most likely Mendez, will get a belt in their respective weight class before the end of next year.
And
in their next fight.
I did say earlier this year that I thought Team Alpha Male, in a bold prediction, would be holding two belts in 2014.
I thought Benavidez was going to get one of those.
Some of that was contingent on Benavidez getting the belt, but I'm still gonna hold to it, and I say they both earned a title in 2014. But moving on, we are wrapping up the end of the year. Next week is a focus on UFC 168, clearly, but I think we do need to name some mixed martial arts awards. Chris, which one you want to start off with?
Let's go Fighter of the Year. I think that's the one where there's a lot of different ways to go here.
Yeah, and we'll go Fighter of the Year, and I'll take this one first. I think there's a lot of fighters you can name. Anthony Pettis only fought twice, but a brutal body kick KO against Cerrone, and then obviously finishes Benson. If he would have taken the belt from Aldo, I might have argued it, or if he fought more frequently. There's two names, though, that really stick out. Vitor Belfort and Uriah Faber. But we've always talked about this, and Vitor Belfort, the big issue with him is the TRT use. How would he have fared without TRT? And it's something that he didn't just have low testosterone. It's because he failed a drug test that he has low testosterone. I got to give it to Faber. He's won four fights. He's beat the best in the world. He beat a guy that really had power that separated him compared to the rest of the 135-pound division in McDonald. He got a ridiculous submission with a suitcase rear naked choke, or backpack rear naked choke, excuse me. I mean, the man's fighter of the year, there's no doubt about that. The only thing that's missing is a title.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. He's at that point. You go 4-0 in the UFC, beating Michael McDonald, Yuri Alcantara. You know, I'm trying to think who else he beat this year. This is who he beats this year. He starts off the year beating Ivan Menjivar in the first round, and that with a really, really nice rear naked choke just whoops him. Beats Scott Jorgensen and just beats him, I think, on that fight for four rounds. Beat Yuri Alcantara, handles him after a dicey early going, and then just look how good he looks in Mike McDonald. 4-0 in the UFC. Two or three top 10 guys there. My fighter of the year, without question. I think, but if Chris Weidman wins this
weekend, yes.
Anderson Silva twice in a year, I don't know if you cannot give it to him. Because if you beat the greatest fighter of all time twice in a year, no doubt that I think he would get it. He would get my vote. Depending on next week, he would get my vote.
Yeah, if he wins against Silva again, he's fighter of the year. There's no doubt about that. Next up, knockout of the year. Chris, would you like to handle this one?
I would not like. I would like you to go first. I need a second.
All right, listen. I love all the ridiculous KOs that Vitor Belfort has had. I love the spinning back fist that Emmanuel Newton had. There's so many of them. But based on what was at stake, based on everything that happened, based on how it happened, you have to give it to Chris Weidman. It may not have been the cleanest or the best, but he knocked out a guy that had toyed with everyone he had fought before this, other than Chael Sonnen. But he just looked so much better than everyone, and we predicted Chris Weidman to win, not in this fashion. I think you have to give knockout of the year to him.
Yeah, I can agree with that. My sleeper candidate, though, would probably be Emmanuel Newton spinning back fist, just because how inspected it was. I mean, that was brutal. But it's hard to go, what was it, line? So I'm a big believer in, like, considering what's on the line when you do something. But I think you could go wrong with Weidman there. Definitely not the cleanest, but it definitely was, he clipped Silva. You've never seen Silva hurt like that before, or ever, really. But then again, I mean, if you're gonna go somewhere else, I think it would have to be Vitor. Or maybe technically Bigfoot would be this year, right? Even though it was last. I mean, Bigfoot's over Overeem.
Yeah.
Or you could go Dos Santos spinning kick K over Hunt. But I mean, Weidman, what was on the line? Who was against? But if you're gonna pick one Vitor one, which one would you pick? Because there's three this year that I think you could make an argument for.
If he would have finished Dan Henderson when he lifted him off the ground with the uppercut, I would have chose that one. But he didn't. He just lifted him. So I got to go with the spinning back kick over Luke Rockhold.
I'd agree with that.
Chris, what's the next one you want to take?
I want to say fight of the year for last, because I think that's there's one obvious answer for that. But I don't know. Let's go event of the year.
Event of the year. Man.
Because there's been a lot of good events. I would actually kind of want to say 162.
I think it's really hard to argue with that. I mean, it had Frankie at 145. It had the biggest upset of the year. There were so many just ridiculous fights on that card that, you couldn't just ignore it.
166 is also very good.
We had our girl Jessica Eye.
Yeah, I mean, that fight, that had a lot of really, like, just really exciting fights. I'm going to go with 160 just because of the history of it all. I can't even remember. The problem with that is I can't even remember anything that happened, like, really before that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm looking at it now. I remember Oliveira and Edgar was great. Kennedy Gracie was kind of meh. Munoz Boach was exciting. Munoz was looking great.
Stipe. Stipe beat Roy Nelson on that card.
Was that card? That was 161.
Ah, damn it.
That which was not a good card.
No, that was a bad card.
I would go 162 again with Silva Weidman. I would go there. I think you could also make an argument for UFAN Fox 6, which was, you know, last year with Coke, Pettis, Teixeira, Jackson, and Demetrius on that main, and Dodson on the main card. 157, you could make argument for me just because of the history, and that main card was pretty, I mean, Lawler. It's hard to kind of pick one. I'm trying to think, what were the Fox cards this year?
There was Johnson and Dodson, Henderson Melendez, which featured Matt Brown destroying Jordan Meehan, Josh Thompson head kick KO of Nate Diaz, Cormier decisioned Frank Mir.
Yeah, and I was going to say I was thinking for a second maybe that the Johnson Moraga card, but then I remembered how bad Alexander McDonald was. Okay, but here, we'll make this trickier before, because I think we go a lot of different ways here. Best non-UFC event you watched this year?
Best non-UFC event I watched this year?
I think there's two ways you go with this.
Well, I think you either go Bellator when Alvarez Chandler 2 happened, just based on that fight. Granted, the other three fights sucked, but what's your other option for it?
Hyde versus Esperanza in FC4. You had Alexis Davis beat Baszler. There's a lot of really good fights in that card. Rose Namajunas was on there. I just remember that was one of the first Invicta cards I was like able to watch like in full, and I streamed it, and I remember thinking it was just really, really like I was entertained the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, Invicta's done wonders. There's no doubt about that. I think you almost have to give that to him just because the way they run it, they have better. I mean, they don't have these ridiculous, you know, matchups that happen where it's a 9-11 per fighter against someone who's 6-0 because they want that guy to get a win. And you know, you look at four Hyatt and Esparza. Beck Hyatt, obviously talented. I believe she's going to be on that Ultimate Fighter season. Shayna Baszler was on there. Raquel Pennington was on there. I mean, they have Amanda Nunes, Sarah Delilio, Leslie Smith, who just fought for a title in there. Namajunas, Tisha Torres was on that card. They had such a ton. They had an unbelievable amount of fighters on that.
Yeah, absolutely. But a lot of those are ones that are going to be on the UFC 155 tough season. So it's interesting.
There was also Penn and Watterson was a very good card. Honchak defended her title. We saw the Karate Hottie take her title. Invicta's done wonders. And if there's a promotion that started and has done really well the past couple of years, it's been Invicta. They know the model, and they have a great relationship with the UFC, which helps a ton.
Uh-huh. I could not agree more. Definitely, they got an interesting future. We'll see kind of how they kind of play out and what they can do to rebuild their division when the UFC starts taking talent. But we'll have to see.
Now,
so I think fight of the year.
Submit. What about submission of the year?
That's tough. I'm trying to think. Because I can't think of like any.
Well, there's Kenny Robertson's knee bar, which was just crazy because we'd never seen it before. You can see Pettis submitting Henderson based while Henderson walks out in a gi with his black belt.
Namajunas is flying armbar.
Faber with his nice little backpack.
Berkman's guillotine.
Rousey submitting Carmouche in that.
I'm gonna go Pettis. I think it was just so unexpected. I think just how he set it up, and I mean, he hurt his arm. Did it in a way. I mean, if you and I both thought once Benson got that takedown, that's where he wins that fight, and that's how he beats Anthony Pettis. I go Pettis. It was just so unexpected, so surprising. It wasn't. I mean, it's an armbar, but it was just shocking, and it got him the world title in his backyard. Probably ends Benson Henderson's chances of getting a title for a long time. Yeah, I go Pettis there.
Yeah, I think he.
could be fighter of the year if he would have fought more.
For that reason, I think you have to go Pettis, but from a pure, I would love to give it to Kenny Robertson just because of how ridiculous of a submission it was. I just wish he was a better fighter, and I wish it was on a bigger stage. I think really the two options were Rousey because of the history and Pettis because it was so shocking. I think we've seen Rousey do it before. We expect it. I don't think anyone expected Pettis to armbar Benson Henderson, and that's why he had to do that.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, your fight of the year. Chris, who you got here?
Easy, Jones Gustafson. I don't think there's I think it's the best MMA fight that's ever happened. Push, you got one of the UFC's longest, most prestigious title on the line. An unexpected result. Jones gets taken down, gets put in the hospital. Could have gone either way. Just how much it meant and just how action-packed it was. Just you never knew what was going to happen next. You're on your seat the whole time. Made me forget everything that happened earlier in the night. And just how significant that belt was and how significant that fight was. I go easy Jones Gustafson for the belt. Yep. Not even a question.
Let me just run through the fight of the year candidates we have. Jones Gustafson, Silva Stan, Melendez Sanchez, Hendricks Condit, Hunt Silva, Bermudez Grice, Zingano Tate was even a good fight. I mean, Alvarez Chandler too. There are so many good fights this year. But, you know, again, based on the moment, pushing a champ to the brink, the first guy to really even be competitive with Jones, you do have to give it to Jones and Gustafson. Unbelievable fight. There's no doubt about that. And I think...
Yeah, one fight that I think would be probably number two on my list, if not for the recent news of Bigfoot Silva, would be the Bigfoot Silva-Mark Hunt fight. Great fight, probably maybe the best heavyweight fight we've ever seen, but the TRT usage just diminishes that for me. It takes so much away from it. You can't be really satisfied with like the result of that fight now. It makes me respect Mark Hunt so much more, but the fight result for that is tampered in a way that it can't really recover from. I mean, Dana White tweeted a sad face. And no, Fedor didn't lose. It was because a fight that he had already got. He had Roots of Fight make him a custom T-shirt that said Bigfoot Silva Mark Hunt 2 on it, because of how much you love that fight.
Yeah.
It ruins that fight. It puts a tarnish on it in the same way like a failed drug test puts it on a guy's win.
Yeah, things happen.
It's a shame.
Before we go, I think a quick little bonus. I think we would both agree, camp of the year. At Team Alpha Male.
Yeah.
It's the fight of the year. There's no doubt about that. But next week is UFC 168. We'll have our predictions. Do we choose Weidman again? Does he retain the belt? Do we have a new champion named Anderson Silva? What happens? And we have Tate Rousey, obviously a very stacked card. That New Year's card is always stacked. We'll be back next week. You can check Chris out on Twitter @CWMRice, me out on Twitter @Nikolai_Gianti, and we will see you later.